Translation. One who desires to conquer the mind must leave the company of his family and live in a solitary place, free from contaminated association. To maintain the body and soul together, he should beg as much as he needs for the bare necessities of life. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This is the process for conquering the agitation of the mind. One is recommended to take leave of his family and live alone, maintaining body and soul together by begging alms and eating only as much as needed to keep himself alive. Without such a process, one cannot conquer lusty desires. Sannyas means accepting a life of begging, which makes one automatically very humble and meek and free from lusty desires. In this regard, the following verse appears in the Shruti literature. Dvandva hatasya garhastyam dhyana bhangadi karanam lakshayitva grihi spashtam sanyased avicharayan. In this world of duality, family life is the cause that spoils one's spiritual life or meditation. Specifically, understanding this fact, one should accept the order of sannyas without hesitation. Yashchitta vijaye yata syani sango parigraha ego vivikta sharano bhikshur paiksha mitashana. So the purpose of human form of life is to get free from the entanglement of material existence. So everything is meant to bring one to that point, especially to get free from all these entanglements. The time of death is a crucial time, because if one still has material desires at the time of leaving the body, then he will have to take birth again in another material body. And that's considered not necessarily a complete failure, but it's considered he didn't fully succeed. If he falls down to a lower species, that's considered a fall down. And now that he's human, he has a human birth, if he falls down lower into the animal species or bird species or insect species, fish species, that's aquatics, or plants, then that's considered, what does Krishna say? My devotee will never be vanquished. That's considered a serious fall down. So one who engages in devotional service, he's guaranteed at least a human birth in his next life. That's the advantage of taking devotional service. Then somebody might say, well, what about Bharat Maharaj? But that was special. That was a special arrangement for Krishna, because he was such a great devotee. He was the emperor of the whole world. And his fall down was it was a real fall down in a sense, because he actually became bewildered. But he was such a great soul that Krishna wanted to liberate him very quickly. And so that fall down was helpful, or taking the next birth as a deer was helpful for him. We see what happened when he took his next birth. Right? Next birth he took as a deer. Right? So, but as a deer, generally deers, what happens to them? They mix with other deers. And they do what deers do. They eat, they sleep, they mate, and they defend. And all the deers are materialistic. There's no spiritual deers. But this deer didn't do that. He wouldn't even associate with other deers. He didn't want to associate with any of them, because he knew that's what happened last time. I associated with the deer, and look what happened to me now. So he was given a special situation where he had memory of his previous life. Most no deer has that. So therefore, you can't say that that was an ordinary fall down like everyone else. It was a very special arrangement specifically for the devotee. He was a pure devotee. He was on the level of bhava, and still he fell down, which teaches us a lesson. Even if we're on bhava platform, even if we think, well, I'm on bhava platform, I won't fall down. We can fall down. And we may not actually be on bhava, and then our fall down will be more entangling. In other words, a devotee doesn't take assurance that I'm a devotee and therefore I can't fall down. Because sometimes Prabhupada would say, being a devotee is not so easy thing. We can say we're aspiring to become a devotee to some degree, but we cannot claim. There are different statements in the scriptures that we could bring up. But in principle, the idea is to get free from materialistic association. That's the primary point of this verse. To give up bad association. What is bad association? To associate with materialistic women for sense gratification, or materialistic men for sense gratification. That's primarily what it means. When one householder in South India asked Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to explain what are the characteristics of a Vaishnava, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Asat sanga tyaga e vaishnava achar. The qualification or the activity of a Vaishnava, the duty of a Vaishnava is he gives up the association of materialistic persons. That's the crucial point. This is also stated by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Upadeshamrita, Nectar of Instruction, that one has to give up the association of non-devotees. That's how important it is. We cannot stress it enough. That's why Prabhupada established these temples, these communities. Because we need association. No one can live without association. Well, someone can try. You can take this instruction literally, if you like, and go to a solitary place. But Prabhupada didn't really recommend that for us. Now, that doesn't mean that it's not possible for maybe a few. There may be a very small number of persons who could actually do that. go and live alone in a solitary vivicta. Eko vivicta shadarno. Taking shelter of a solitary place. Vivicta means solitary. Alone. Eka. Alone. But if we try to do that, most likely we'll take our materialistic mind with us, so we won't be alone. We'll have an enemy with us. In fact, we'll have an enemy right inside our body. And that enemy will be dictating, what are you doing here? What are you going to eat? What about your desires? We won't be able to keep our minds fixed. Some devotees have tried it in this movement, but unsuccessfully. So therefore, Prabhupada didn't recommend it directly. He recommended that instead of going to the forest, and even as vanaprastha, I want to speak of a sannyasi going alone to the forest, he recommended go to Vrindavan, just like Prahlad Maharaj told his father. He actually told his father to take sannyas or vanaprastha at least. He was a kshatriya, so sannyas, formal sannyas was not required. But he told him to take vanaprastha, go to the forest, specifically go to Vrindavan. And of course his father didn't appreciate that either. But that's the recommendation. And go to Vrindavan, that's ideal, but not everyone may be able to go to Vrindavan. Maybe they can't afford the fare. Or maybe they can't get the visa to stay there for the rest of their lives. So what to do in that case? Go to a temple of ISKCON. Because these temples are non-different than Vrindavan. We have Radha Gokulananda. What is the unique feature of Vrindavan that Radha and Krishna are there? So wherever Radha and Krishna are really there and they're being served, that's Vrindavan. That's Vaikuntha. That's the spiritual world. Therefore, everybody should take shelter of this Krishna consciousness movement. And even if Radha Krishna are not being worshipped directly, if Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is there, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahayanya, he is Radha Krishna. Therefore you get the same benefit of being in Vrindavan if you're worshipping Lord Chaitanya. And worshipping Lord Chaitanya is not difficult. Just chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's the primary service for Panchatattva worship or Gaur-Nitai worship. And especially in this age, worshipping Lord Chaitanya is not really very optional. It's more or less obligatory. Because he's the Yuga Avatar. He's the incarnation for this age. Therefore he appeared in the beginning. And he has designated the process of Sankirtan, Krishna Varnam Tvisha Krishnam, Sango Pangasya Parshadam, Yajyai Sankirtana Praya Yajantihi Sumedasa. Those who have sufficient brain substance, they will engage in Sankirtan Yajna. They will join this movement. That is Lord Chaitanya's process. So they should give up materialistic association and join Sankirtan movement with the devotees of the Lord. Someone may say, but what about all those people Well, if you want to keep associating with them, if you can make them into devotees, then that's a solution. But if you can't make them into devotees, and you continue to associate with them, then you may become a materialistic person again. That's what happens by association. Birds of a feather flock together. The crows fly with the crows. Have you ever seen crows and swans flying together? Have you ever seen crows and swans floating together on the lake? Why? Because they have different tastes. The crows like to go to the dirty places, the garbage dumps. If there's a garbage dump, the crows consider it a place of pilgrimage. They go there and they have a wonderful time. But the swans never go there. Swans always clear, crystal clear lakes where there's lotus flowers. Swan-like men. So the devotees are the swan-like men. And therefore we're supposed to associate with them. Here it's emphasized taking sannyas. And some objection may be there that in the age of Kali, sannyas is forbidden. One of the five activities that are forbidden in this age. Ashvamedham gabalambam sannyasya palapaitrakam devarena sutotputim kalo panchavivarjayat. These five activities are forbidden in Kali Yuga. Horse sacrifice, cow sacrifice, taking sannyas, begetting a child in one's brother's wife. What is the other one? Ashvamedham gavavalambam sannyasya palapaitrakam. Oh, offering flesh to forefathers. It's not allowed. It's forbidden. So why then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas? Why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur took sannyas? So many acharyas. They're also in Kali Yuga. And the explanation is that Mayavad sannyas is forbidden in this age, but Vaishnav sannyas is not forbidden. But still one should be cautious because it's not easy in Kali Yuga to take up the sannyas order. There's allurements at every step. Kali Yuga is Kaler Doshini Deirajan Asti Heko Mahanganan Kirtanadeva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Vrajet. Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. And it's very easy to fall down into materialistic association again. The one has to be very cautious and especially if one takes sannyas, he may travel alone, but generally Prabhupada showed the example as a sannyasi that he only traveled alone once. And that was the trip from India to America. Because he had no devotees with him. Because he had one disciple in India who was a householder and was involved and he had his occupation and everything. So he came alone. But after that, he always traveled with devotees to show the example, even as a sannyasi. Here's a word. We can look at some of these words. Mitashana. Mitashana. Eating frugally. Well, we know what that means. It means, first of all, only eating prasadam. That's the first part of eating frugally. You have to start with that. You don't start trying to reduce very much in the beginning. Some of the new devotees know that we encourage them to take as much as possible. Because what will happen if they don't is their minds will go back to eating material things, non-prasadam. And if they eat non-prasadam, then that's not very good. So better to take in the beginning as much as possible, or as much as to one's full satisfaction. That's the prayer that we say. Now let us take this prasadam to our full satisfaction. So sometimes the servers may come around, are you fully satisfied? That's a nice question to be asked. Are you fully satisfied? That means, would you like anything more? And we should take. Then later on, after one has switched over from a non-prasadam diet to a prasadam diet, then it's nice to try to reduce as one is able to, not artificially, but through advancement in devotional service and, you know, prayers and things. I know I received my last letter from Srila Prabhupada. I was here. I was at the manor. And the letter was a bombshell for me. Well, not exactly sannyas, but kind of. He said, a preacher should reduce his eating, sleeping, and sex. So, that's it. You know, those are the main things in the material world. And I had already, you know, given those things up to some extent. And it was very difficult to reduce sleep, reduce eating. You can try to reduce eating, but if you're not ready, then it'll be a failure. But I didn't reject the instruction, which is what Prabhupada says. If you get an instruction that's very difficult from the spiritual master, you shouldn't reject it, but you may take some time to execute it. It may require, it's like Prabhupada's, he claims that his spiritual master wanted him to take sannyas at the age of 25. That's how Prabhupada interpreted it. And he didn't do that. Because Prabhupada said, I thought that, first I'll become wealthy man in business, and then I'll spread Krishna consciousness to the English-speaking people. He was thinking like that. But after some time, that wasn't happening. So he took it up directly and took sannyas like his godbrothers. So, but he cherished that order. The order was cherished in his heart. He was worshiping that order and praying and preparing how I will be able to execute this order. No rejection. It's not that it's an impossible task. It's not that I don't accept it. But I accept it. I may not be up to it right now. Let me try to come up to that platform. So I had some nice mercy from the spiritual master. Along with the order of the spiritual master comes the facility to execute it. So if we take that seriously, whatever instructions are coming down from the disciplic succession, we may not understand how we can do these things, how it's remarkable that we're practicing Krishna consciousness in Kali Yuga and living in cities. It's remarkable that we're able to control our senses. But this is the mercy of the Guru and Krishna, that we can actually accomplish their desires. That's the mercy of Krishna. He gives one. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam yena mamu piyantite. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. He wants us to come back to home, back to Godhead. He doesn't want us to remain here. And if he sees someone is sincerely trying to serve him, to chant his names, to hear about him, hear his glories, to worship him, manmana bhava mad bhakto majaji mam namaskaru mami vaishasi satyam te pratijane priyosime, then you will come back to me, Krishna says. If he does that, Krishna helps. And with Krishna's help, it becomes very easy. Samashita ye parapallava plavam mahatpadam punyusho marari bhavam buddhir vatsapadam padam padam yadvipadam natesham. For one who takes up devotional service sincerely, the ocean of material existence shrinks up to the amount of water contained in the hoof print of a calf. One can very easily cross over it. So these difficult instructions, these impossible instructions, impossible is a word in the fool's dictionary. I'll tell you one. Yes. You know the story of how the books, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, was printed or produced in only 2 months. They had 17 volumes. Prabhupada was disappointed that they were 17 volumes behind in the publication. He had already translated and commented on 17 volumes, mostly Chaitanya Charitamrita and some Bhagavatams, and he was not pleased that they were making, it wasn't coming along quickly enough for him. And then they were doing about one book every, I don't know what it was, a few months, every 3 or 4 months. Then they had a meeting that BBT, Prabhupada made these statements that what is the use in having all this fancy equipment? They had purchased many machines. They had all kinds of nice machines, and Prabhupada said, then if you have all these machines, then you have to produce all these books. And so they met. Even they were on a morning walk, and they understood that Prabhupada was serious, and he wasn't. It wasn't just like a kind of a rhetorical thing, or you know, something to wait on. So the managers happened to be on the walk, and they met, and they came back and said, "Prabhupada, we've discussed it, and we can do it. One book every 2 months." The Prabhupada said, 17 books in 2 months. And what could they say? I mean, the only thing that he could say, the head of the BBT at that time, was, "Prabhupada, that's impossible." And then Prabhupada said, "Impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary." He didn't accept it. So then they realized that Prabhupada really meant it, and he meant it starting, the 2 months was starting right now. It wasn't that, think about it, plan it out, then pick 2 months sometime in the future. He meant it now. So they threw all hesitation, all material considerations out the window, and they tried for it. And they tried so sincerely that Krishna just showered his blessings on them, and they were able to do it. You know the story. So we shouldn't think that it's impossible for us to become a sannyasi, or even higher than a sannyasi is a devotee. Don't think that there's devotee and then there's sannyasi. Many times, Prabhupada would write letters to devotees who were householders, writing to him saying, "I want to take sannyas." And Prabhupada said, "You're already greater than a sannyasi. There's no need to take sannyas." Because a devotee, a Vaishnava, is higher than a sannyasi. Sannyasi is still on the material platform. Of course, if he's a Vaishnava sannyasi, then he's not on the material platform. But sannyas alone is not the goal. The goal is to be a Vaishnava. And being a Vaishnava includes being a sannyasi. Sometimes Prabhupada said about his grihastha disciples that they're wearing white because they're paramahansas. Yes, because if one is actually engaged in pure devotional service, then that's higher than Prairajakacharya. That's the third stage of sannyas. It's paramahansa stage. So, of course, it doesn't mean we should be complacent and remain attached to our homes and our comfortable situation. That's the whole point of this verse, is that one should go beyond the comforts of material existence and live just to keep the body and soul together for devotional service, not for eating to live, not living to eat. You know, just eat the bare necessities. Not artificially, but take as much as required for doing our service. And if one is doing, let's say he's caring for the oxen, big strong man, he's out with the oxen all day. He needs to eat a lot. Otherwise, how will he be able to withstand that? How will he be able to? And the oxen are big. They're strong. So if he has that service, then he can eat a lot. And it won't harm him at all. He needs that. But if one is doing some more, just like when one gets older, it's not so easy to be as physically active. At least most of the people I know have found that it's not as easy to be as physically active. So then naturally one has to reduce eating. So nature has also made it incumbent on everyone, or at least those who are sincere in Krishna consciousness, that you have to reduce. This is part of the whole process. Reduce eating, reduce. Prabhupada said in his last days, he was making a joke, but at the same time it was a serious joke. He was in Vrindavan, and he had developed, as you know, those who were here at the manor in 1977 when Prabhupada came, remember Prabhupada's condition. So this is the last place outside of Vrindavan that he visited in this world. So we're very fortunate to have Prabhupada coming here. So when he went back to Vrindavan, then things just kept deteriorating in terms of his physical condition. And at one point, he started having a ringing in his ears, some kind of sound. It was very disturbing, and he couldn't sleep. So he said, he was telling the devotees, "I can't sleep now." And he said, I've already given up eating. He had stopped eating for months. And sex life, he said, there's no question. And defense, there was no way he could defend himself. He was so weak, couldn't move. So no defense, he said. And now I've given up sleeping, so I must be liberated. He was laughing, he was joking. But that's the idea. Nidra haravikari. Nidra haravikari vijito chatyanta dino chayo. The six Goswamis, they reduced their eating, sleeping, mating, and defending practically to nil. That's our goal. Everybody should have that as their goal. How can I reduce my eating, sleeping, mating, and defending? The six Goswamis, Raghunath Das Goswami was eating pat of butter every alternate day. That was his, sometimes some buttermilk it's mentioned for variety. That was his diet. Sleeping 1.5 hours. And sometimes they forgot to sleep. Generally we don't forget to sleep, but the six Goswamis. How did they forget to sleep? Does it mean that they were senile or Alzheimer's? No. That they were so absorbed in serving Krishna that they just didn't have, they just forgot. And so eating, sleeping, mating, there was no mating, and defense. They slept under a different tree every night. Not even the same tree, because we might become attached. That this tree is giving me protection and sheltering me, and I found a good place where there's not so many. So they were sleeping under a different tree every night. That's, we're Rupanugas. This is our example. This is our goal for everyone who wants to go back to Godhead. We have to give up the material things. But that, at least we should take it step by step. And things may speed up at the end. There may be some force. Krishna may use some loving force to help us give these things up. Just like we know, there was one devotee from Finland. He was a brahmachari around 29 years old. Sankirtan, big, strong Sankirtan devotee. And he got some terminal disease. He went to Vrindavan and very quickly, but he was ready. He wasn't lamenting at all. He was in bliss. The kirtan was going on. Aindra Prabhu was leading the kirtan. And sometimes when person's in that condition, he was just about on his, it was just about to go, it was imminent. So sometimes at that stage, loud kirtans are difficult. So they asked, you know, the devotee, is it, you know, is it too loud? He said, no, no, bring it up, bring it up. And they brought up the kirtan, and then he left in a blissful state. So that's a successful life of devotional service, even though it was a short life of devotional service, but he had achieved the goal. Ante Narayana Smriti, to remember Narayan at the last stage. So thank you very much for your kind attention. Are there any questions?